Think about how tired you are when you didn't sleep well the night before. Cranky, moody perhaps. Now imagine you don't sleep well the next night and the night after that and the night after that. Things will get really bad, right? That's perhaps the closest most of us can get to understanding what it's like to live with narcolepsy. It's an illness that affects 1 in 3,000 Americans and often becomes a punchline, as if it were just a matter of dozing off occasionally. Los Angeles-based Pulse contributor Stephen Jackson spent a day with a young woman who has narcolepsy and is trying her best to live a normal life.
Julie Fligar was 22 years old when she was diagnosed with narcolepsy. It wasn't part of her plan.
For a while, I just got angry at myself. I used to drive home at night from law school and just scream at the top of my lungs in my car.
That was 8 years ago. Now she works in an office high-rise in downtown Los Angeles. She's on the 12th floor. She's got a great view of the sunset. It's a nice place to work. And most importantly, it's easy to take nap breaks.
Yesterday, I think it was 8 minutes. I went to my car and it feels like forever. I wake up thinking, where am I? I have no idea. What's going on? Oh my God. Oh, I'm at work. How long has it been? It doesn't feel like you're just napping. It feels more like my brain was really, really active.
Her sleep feels different because it is different. Most people go through several stages of sleep, each deeper than the last, before entering rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. In REM, your brain is active, your eyes move around, hence the name, and your body is paralyzed so you don't act out your dreams. Then it starts all over again. But people with narcolepsy skip the other restful stages and jump right into REM, which is why they feel tired during the day. Julie is driving home from work today, which I thought was dangerous if you have narcolepsy. But she says it's safe, as long as she listens to her body.
And I'll start rubbing my shoulders and stretching my neck, and then my head might just feel like a weight on top of it, almost like you're wearing some sort of a helmet that's a little too tight or something.
Dr. Tom Scammell, a neurologist at Harvard Medical School, says that feeling is impossible to ignore.
They can be struggling to stay awake in the same way that you and I would feel sleepy if we'd been awake all night the night before.
But feeling tired is only part of it. Like many people with narcolepsy, Julie also has cataplexy.
Cataplexy is this really unusual symptom. It's sudden episodes of muscle weakness that are triggered by strong emotions.
It's like a waking version of the same paralysis your body goes into during REM sleep. Usually it's brought on by positive stuff, like being surprised by a friend or laughing at a great joke. Sometimes it's mild.
But sometimes when it's severe, they may not be able to move for a minute or two. And they're awake and they're aware, but they're literally just paralyzed and they can't get up off the ground.
Back at the apartment, Julie's boyfriend Alex is home. I ask him what it's like dating someone with narcolepsy.
Didn't matter to me. Still doesn't. And you asked me that like on one of our first dates. She was really nervous.
I was afraid that he might not really understand, that as much as he could say, oh yeah, I get it, that he didn't really get it.
I think my reaction even kind of threw you off a little bit, because I was like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Right.
And you're like, no, not whatever, like this is what it is. And I was like, no, I hear you, I get it, that's cool.
Right.
When they go out, it's not a big deal if they have to go home early because Julie's tired. But she'd rather avoid that, so she takes medication to stay awake.
I've tried all the different kinds of stimulants. Right now I'm on Adderall.
Bag of pills.
She takes a pill every morning. On rough days, she takes two. The side effects are different for everyone, but Julie usually feels fine as long as she controls her dose. And at night, she switches from stimulants to a sedative called sodium oxybate, better known as GHB, the date rape drug.
It's pretty strong stuff. People can be scared of, I know I was scared of taking it when I was first diagnosed because I was afraid, like, am I going to wake up?
Sodium oxybate regulates her sleep cycle and stops her from entering REM too soon. She takes a dose right before she falls asleep, and 3 hours later, she wakes up and takes more. For now, it's bedtime. It's late, and I'm standing in Julie's bathroom, pointing a big microphone at her mouth. It's a little funny.
You're giving me a little cataplexy.
It's mild tonight. Her eyes flutter closed and her chin drops to her chest. And then, it's over.
I woke up one night, in the middle of the night, to hear a burglar breaking in through the fire escape in the window in the living room, and I could hear it. And then I saw my door open and this man rushed towards me with his arm stretched out to grab at my neck.
Sometimes, when Julie is on the edge of sleeping and wakefulness, her partly conscious brain falls into REM sleep, and she starts having vivid dreams that feel just like real life. If it happens while she's falling asleep, it's called a hypnagogic hallucination, and if it strikes as she's waking up, a hypnopompic hallucination. Because she's in REM sleep, she's locked in her body the whole time.
All I want to do is kick him away, push him away, run away, and I was absolutely terrified, but I couldn't move to respond.
And here's the weird part. All these symptoms, the sleepiness, the cataplexy, the hallucinations and paralysis, they can all be traced back to a single neurotransmitter called orexin. It's in the hypothalamus, and it helps regulate sleep. And narcoleptics don't have enough of it.
Normal individuals have about 76,000 of these cells. Narcoleptics have about 7,000 of these cells.
Jerry Siegel is a sleep researcher at UCLA. He says orexin is probably killed off by the immune system. But why is still a big question. Another question? How to replenish orexin and cure the disease? The answer might involve snorting the cells in a nasal spray or implanting them back in the brain. But progress is slow.
We're pedaling as fast as we can, but it's hard to predict when we'll arrive at our destination.
Saturday morning, after coffee and Adderall, Julie goes running in Griffith Park, a big patch of nature in Los Angeles.
The thing I love about running is that it's like, it feels like it's a different, completely different body than the one that has cataplexy and narcolepsy. It feels so strong.
At the top of a big hill, she stops. She looks like any other runner in the park today. And she likes that. It reminds her that narcolepsy doesn't define her.
I don't think we're either like completely sick or healthy. People aren't just patients or caregivers or doctors. People are both, you know. I care for other people. People care for me. That's real life, I think.
For The Pulse, I'm Stephen Jackson.